It's to a minister's benefit to ask for the input of others in the sermon preparation process. That's the key sentence for our podcast for today, and we welcome you to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, when you're preparing a sermon, do you ever ask for input from other people?
In my sermon preparation process, I usually am able to do certain parts of it on my own. I usually get the text on my own. I will figure out what the subject is and the response. At that point, most of that I do on my own because I find that it's hard to ask for help from someone else if I can't say, this is my text, this is the subject I'm talking about, this is the response I'm calling for. If I just call out of the blue and say, I'm having trouble with this, coming up with a sermon idea, that's not nearly as focused for them. So by myself coming up with the text, you know, the subject, the response, at that point it gives me something to talk about and helps them. There are times when I struggle with the text. I'll call my wife. I say, I just need help with this, sweetheart. And then we'll work on the sentence together that we're working on. There are times when I will call another minister. There are times when I will call in. My executive secretary is an ordained minister who works with us part-time, and so she knows the scriptures well, and I sometimes will ask her. I will sometimes ask my editor. Earlier in my ministerial years, I would ask the guy in charge of the warehouse. I would ask, you know, the guy who writes our newsletter. It didn't matter who. I would go to whoever because they were human beings. They had good minds, and I would try to pick those minds. Usually when I write a sermon, I will go to someone else. It's interesting to me that there are probably 300,000 plus, maybe more than that, ministers around the country. I'm sure that's a low number. And most of the time, ministers don't go to one another for help. I just fearlessly go and call a guy and say, hey, David, call it. And they seem to see it as an honor, you know, that Maines isn't smart enough. He needs my help. I find those very stimulating conversations. So yes, I do that often. I would say that it is less likely that I will do a sermon totally on my own than it is that I will do a sermon where I've had help from somebody else. And I don't feel like I have to give them credit. I don't feel like, okay, they got a byline in my sermon. You know, in fact, sometimes if they would know the people I call, they would think of me as playing big shot and saying, look at who he called and asked for help. You know, in fact, a lot of times I'll get a pastor who's already preached on that text and they'll have wonderful ideas. And they don't seem to think, you know, Maines steals my thunder. If I get an illustration, I will give credit for that. I'll say, you know, I talked to my good friend Doug Rumford on the phone and he gave me this illustration for which I'm very grateful. It's very touching to me. I'll do that. But I basically, you know, I've given so much stuff away in my whole life that I figure turnabout is good. I don't feel myself being in hock to anybody, so...
Why do you suppose ministers don't do this more?
That is really a good question. Boy, I wish I knew the answer. I think that there's a traditional mindset that you get alone with God and you and God figure this thing out and you talk more than he does. God doesn't speak a whole lot, although there are times when you know that he's given you a memory or a new thought, whatever. I think ego could be involved. I think it's very possible that what I'm saying is a whole new thought to somebody. They just never thought about it. For whatever reason, nobody ever said, why don't you call somebody and ask for help? Maybe a minister. I'm just making this up, Dean. So you're asking me a question. I haven't thought about that much, but I think a minister may say, well, I'll ask so-and-so for help, and then the help they give me is not what I want. So then I'm stuck. I never care about things like that. I never figure those people are going to hear my sermon, whatever who I talk with, you know. So I don't think, well, what if they give me help that I don't need, or they give me a great illustration I don't think it's so. It just doesn't faze me. I don't know why people don't do it more. I would say that that's most unfortunate because there's something about a live voice that you're talking with. That's, in fact, sometimes I'll talk with a person. Dean, I could talk with you and you may say something that triggers a thought that I never would have thought of otherwise. And I get it that way. So it's a great help. You know, I don't see it as... I don't know any reason why I wouldn't do that. I find that conversations stimulate you much faster than sitting there on your own and just trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah, we've talked before on these podcasts about seeking input from your members in your congregation. the way you frame it with them when you ask the question helps take care of any of the concern, well, he didn't use my illustration or he didn't use what I had to say, because usually if you talk to them in a group of 3 to 5 people, there's so many ideas coming forward, they'll realize that you can't possibly use all of those ideas. There are ways of covering that concern if that in fact is a concern. Some pastors that are listening to us might say, okay, Mains, have you ever created a sermon entirely on your own?
I don't think there's a minister alive today who has ever created a sermon entirely on his or her own, because they're all going to books. You know, if we didn't have a concordance, we would spend hours trying to figure out where those different words were in terms of the scriptures. If we didn't have any sermon books from whether it's Spurgeon or Moody or Matthew Henry or commentaries, or, I mean, we're all going to other people for help. We've done it for years. It's just that somehow going to dead people is easier than going to live people for some reason, you know.
They can't talk back.
Well, they can't. No, that's, unfortunately, if they could, they would still use old illustrations because they're living in a different era. I think the idea that we strictly create these on our own is a false idea. We are involved in this great cloud of witnesses, and we draw on all these people from all different sources. I don't think I've ever created one entirely on my own. I guess I could say I pretty much did most of this work. It was original thinking, but I have had so much input into my life from other sermons and all the rest. You know, how do you do it on your own? You can't. So the question is, how much do you want to reach out to others?
One of the interesting things that occurs to me, and I mentioned to you not long ago that I've been reading through Tim Keller's book, Center Church, he talks about the fact that what we're really trying to do as we build spiritual formation through the sermons that we preach, we're trying to answer the questions that our people have when they come to worship. If you never talk to them, if you never seek their input, you're not going to know what questions they have. So let me ask you this in a practical way. How do you go about doing that? How do you gather that information?
Do you know what a phone is, Dean?
I do. I have several of them. Pick up the phone and make a call? Is it really that simple?
That's what I usually do. It's easier for me than to do an email. I do email, but I find the phone is better as far as being able to talk about something than email. I don't type as fast as some people do. I know that you can text. I don't text yet, but I'm going to get a different phone so I can text, and that would be a way to do it. One of the ways that I like is to go to lunch and say, this is where I am so far. Just want your input. I don't know why, but that's a huge honor to people. And the reason I think it is because they usually pick up the tab, you know, which is kind of neat. I've said, I'd like to do this, but then I find out that they say, no, this has been a great honor for me. I want to pay it. So that's a neat deal as far as I'm concerned. So all those are just interesting aspects of where I am in this. I've never found that people are offended by it. I think it works. And I say, wow, that's great. That's my nature. I just am going to go to people. And many times I've said to people at the office, George is my editor. He doesn't work a lot of hours in the week, but he is usually in so that lunch is the time. And I say, I mean, George has no background whatsoever from his studies. He's a terrific editor. I say, I'll buy lunch for you. You know, I just want to talk about where my sermon is. He could talk on forever. And at a certain point, I say, I've got to get back to the office. But I've taken notes and I know where I want to go. It's much more stimulating for my mind than just sitting there alone. Do I never sit alone? Yeah, of course, a lot of times I do. And do I pray? I pray all the time when I put a sermon together. So it's not as though this is the only way I'm getting input from sermons, but it certainly is a resource that is there. I've never had anybody say, if you call me one more time and ask me to go out so we can talk through your sermons, I'm going to choke you to death. I've never had anything like that. So
people always respond positively.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I know you've talked before, at least I've heard you talk over the years, about the Little Red Hen children's story. Could you talk to us a little bit about that story and whether or not the Little Red Hen would get an A+ or an A- from you?
Well, I don't know how popular the Little Red Hen is now, but I know that when I was growing up, the Little Red Hen asked for help all the time, and nobody would give it. You know, you want to help fix the weed, or you want to help do all that, and they'd always say, no, too busy. So finally, when she didn't get any help from anybody, she made her bread, and then she said, well, I'll just eat it myself then, too, because, you know, so I don't know what kind of guy. I would give her an A+ as far as asking for help, so that's a good thing. Whether I get to the end, and how would that relate to me? I would say, I'm just going to enjoy what I put together here, and I'm not going to share it with anybody.
I'm not going to preach this sermon. I'm just going to read through it and smile at how good a job I did.
So we can't give her, she may not get an A on that at all. I've never met the little red hen. I'd say she has some good things and some bad things.
So at least what we've done now is pique the interest of all the younger pastors to look up and see what the little red hen story is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What we're saying today, it's to a minister's benefit to ask for the input of others in the sermon preparation process. We're so very glad you've joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. You've found our podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have many sources on our website. They're there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as we always do, we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.